If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the madness of March and Marchness of Mad and whatnot.
Fantastic.
It's pretty exciting. I've not quite forgotten the disappointment and actual just complete letdown of the Big 12 tourney, because I had to even look up to see who won the thing. I really didn't care once Tech was out. I never watched a second of the rest of it.
I'm with you. I think it was Texas, Oklahoma State that played, but I couldn't tell you who won it.
Pretty sure Texas won. I say I had to look it up, but then when I looked it up, apparently it didn't even lock in my memory. So that's where I'm at today. I'm ready to just, we'll have to talk about it some, but I'm ready to move forward to the Utah State Aggies. How are you, man?
Man, I'm good. So we'll talk about it here towards the end when we talk about baseball. I went to the game Monday morning. First pitch was at 10 o'clock.
Yes, you were there bright and early.
It was bright and early. I was there for first pitch, barely, but I had to get some work done, you know, Monday morning stuff. That was good, man. It's a good day. Good, fun day at the ballpark.
I know, so much fun. So much fun for that final inning. We'll talk about that some more.
We'll definitely talk about that. I did get my, it's like ceremonial rite of passage for me. The first baseball game of the spring is my first sunburn of the year, and I welcomed it. I was trying to avoid it. I didn't put any sunscreen on. It's not like it's like I'm going to the game like, yeah, here we go, I'm gonna get sunburned. It just like happens. I'm just not back in the rhythm of carrying sunscreen with me to the ballpark and all that kind of stuff. I've never been there in the morning. So it's like, I'm not even sure what to expect. Sun was right in my face. So that was fun. I kept having to turn like 90 degrees to try to even out my sides. Cause like 15 minutes in, I could feel half my, I just like slapped the mic. I could feel one half of my face getting really hot. I was like, it's a little early for that, but here we go. So I kept turning. You know, the one thing that's right in the middle of my face is my nose. It got pretty toasty. Anyways. Yeah, man. If you follow us on the social, then you would have seen I posted a picture of the ballpark that morning. It was perfect day. If you want to jump in on that, follow us, especially as we're getting ready for the big dance. You can follow the show on Twitter at 23 Personnel. It's 23 Personnel. You can follow me, Spencer, at Punts Suck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And also on Instagram, where we post fun little pictures of the stadiums that we're at, or little snippets from the show, 23 Personnel Podcast. We're not going to beat your ears in, right? Is that a thing with podcast? About home field, except I forgot to mention the great piece that Brian wrote to accompany the launch of the Texas Tech home field apparel line that went up on Staking the Plains. Obviously, if you're finding us through Staking the Plains, you know about this. But if you're not, go check out Staking the Plains from last Tuesday, no, Monday, the 8th. Brian wrote the good brand E as his little, his Tiki Tech special number 9.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, during the last COVID year, friend and contributor to Staking the Plains, Brian has been experimenting with tiki drinks and has been posting several of them. So he's got a running list of recipes, and this Tiki Tech special he decided to call Home Field Magic number 9, as Spencer said, aka the good brand D. in honor of Homefield. It, of course, has brandy in it, and it is labeled number 9 because this was his 9th attempt. So if you enjoy brandy and or tiki drinks and or just trying new things, go ahead and check it out, because our man took 9 tries to get this right. He did this for you.
Did it for you. You know what else we have for you guys? When you're checking out Homefield, be sure to cop your 23 personnel discount code. 23 personnel at checkout gets you 15% off on your first order. So, like we said, we've got basketball to talk about. We've got the tournament coming up. We're going to recap briefly the disappointment of losing in the first round of the Big 12 tournament again. Get you set for all 3 of your possible opponents going into this first weekend. And then get you to baseball. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Media, who is our host company, will be raffling off 4 custom-made pairs of sneaks. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you into a drawing for a 1-of-1 pair of Air Force One low tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @armchairmedia on Twitter or Instagram.
Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. NBA is in full swing. College basketball heats up as the schools make their way to the madness. Go Texas Tech. The tournament is coming, and so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness contest, as Bet Online is the spot for all of your bracketology needs. That's $100,000, people. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Michael, you know, I thought about doing a 23 personnel podcast bracket challenge group.
Yeah.
But then I realized I'm going to be in so many other ones, and I've got my attention going in 18 different directions. Like this past week, I would not have had time to set this up and mess with it at all.
I've yet to fill out a bracket this year. I've got to work on that.
I filled out one, and I got to the end. I was like, nope, don't like that. Cause I think I had like West Virginia making it through. I was like, well, how did I do that?
That's gross.
No, I was like, no.
You got to fix that.
I was like, oh, they play Indiana. I think Indiana could go win that game. Okay. We'll adjust that. But yeah, I'm not going to be huge in the brackets, but there are plenty of groups. I know our guys over at Ramblin' Raiders have a group, so check that out. If you are into filling out a million brackets, which I normally would be, I just can't. Just can't do it.
There's only so many brackets we can handle at once.
And, you know, Joey Brackets has got you all set up. I'm just kidding. Anyways, basketball, brackets, Michael, let's hoop it up.
Alrighty.
Here comes Stevenson.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Space.
Over the top of Bolnick, and a ground strip by Owens. Ready on the run. Bounce pass. Here's Culver.
Evans.
Yes. Game over.
Mooney with a crossover and the lob.
shot clock is at three. Mooney spins, fires. Oh, he got it to go. Edwards with a three. Good! What a shot, Kyler Edwards. Already doubled into two. Good! Who puts it down? Already. Odiasi. Full bars it in. Shot clock down to five. Got the screen. Here's a three. Good!
Colbert got the separation. Oh, big shot. Woo! Step it up big time. Dagger.
Over the dish.
Odiasi! And one. He can tie it at the line.
That's it. There's a new
I'm most excited about updating that with some of our newest highlights.
Agree. I hope we make it far enough to get the
Kevin Harlan experience.
Coveted Kevin Harlan, Kevin Harlan stuff. We need some more.
One thing I noticed was that Jarrett Culver steal and dunk. Well, he didn't steal it, but the dunk at the Kansas game a couple years ago, they stole it from McCormick, who is the player that basically kept Kansas out of the Big 12 tournament this weekend going down with the COVID or contact tracing. I was like, wow, look at that. That guy. Way to go.
That's about as related to that steal and dunk and whatnot as everyone talking about Matt Wells having once coached football at Utah State.
But apparently he and the head coach were besties in the 1 year they were up there together. So...
Well,
and
a lot can happen in a year.
I did hear an interview with the voice of the Aggies. I can't remember his name, but he was making a lot of strong comparisons to their coach, to Chris Beard. It's like, no, there's only one. All right. So Big 12 tournament happened this past weekend. Texas Tech slid up into the sixth seed. That's a thread to follow. Two different tournaments. Or I guess they slid up into the sixth seed for Big 12, slid back into the sixth seed in the NCAA tournament. Anyways, you missed out on the opening set of games where you would have been the 7 versus the 10. You get that bye, air quotes bye, to take on the 3 seed Texas. I don't know what to say because it was frustrating. You were up 10 twice late.
Yeah.
And you lost this game.
They lost the game. The Texas Tech just flat out lost it. You know, the free throws were terrible. They were 12 of 20, I believe, on free throws. Kyler Edwards, which I'm glad he was shooting, but he was ice cold, 2 for 11. McClung, everybody kept making a big deal about how, you know, how little McClung was able to account for, but he was 3 for 8. I mean, he was doing better than Edwards was, at least from the field. Without Shannon somehow scoring 18 on 4 of 7 threes, Tech wouldn't have even been in the game. That was probably one of the most bizarre things.
Yeah.
All of these things happened, yet somehow Shannon drained 4 threes.
Yeah. So I think the biggest stat here, though, and there's going to be two of them, I'm going to kind of tie them together. Texas Tech did not score a single point in the final 4 minutes of the game.
Oof.
4 minutes. I know Chris Beard likes to break down games into 4 minute sections. You lost that one. Texas went obviously with you, when you don't score for 4 minutes, any kind of run is significant. But Texas went in a 6-0 run in the final minute 48 of the game to beat you by one. So you had a 5-point lead less than 2 minutes to go. Yeah.
I've got one more stat to mention. Ooh,
let's hear it.
Okay, back to the 3 points again. Texas came into the game averaging 35% from three. They shot 42% against Tech. And it was about the same. They were really kind of on fire for a bit, maybe the first 10 or 15 minutes of the second half, and then they cooled off a little bit. So it ended up being pretty much 42% each half. So, you know, they shot seven percentage points better than they normally do against Tech. Whether that's luck, whether that's defense, I don't know. But just another thing to point towards an ugly loss that just slipped away. I mean, Tech should have come out with a win on this. They were ahead several times, like you mentioned. just unable to keep any sort of offense going. I know that Beard was playing with lineups a little bit. PV didn't start. Shannon did. That was kind of interesting. You know, they said that Burton might be available, but he never played. So I'm assuming he's available for the tournament, the capital T tournament, the big one. But just another disappointing first round, which is just another reason to not have this tournament.
Because Texas Tech does not perform well in this tournament.
No, they don't play well in it. I'm saying it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I'm tired of watching them lose at the first round every year. And on top of all the COVID stuff, and sure enough, it reared its ugly head after we had our podcast last week. We mentioned that this was kind of a scary thing to do right before the NCAA tournament and risk all this kind of stuff. And sure enough, Kansas had an issue. And everybody's fortunate it wasn't worse than it was, but just one of those things. Was it really worth it? I mean, I'm sure Phillips 66 was happy about it, but we'll see.
So going back to your 3-point thing, just really quickly to wrap that up, you tracked it for all of the Big 12 games. Texas Tech on average allowed teams to shoot 4% better against them than their season averages, which doesn't sound like a lot, but there were games where you had opponents shooting, there's a 52%, 63%, 50%, 63%.
Yeah.
These are teams shooting threes, not free throws, but threes, hitting at nearly 70%. You can't let that happen.
Insanity.
Especially now that you're going into the tournament, because you're gonna find teams like a Utah State, and I don't have the stats pulled up on them, that may be in the position they're in because they can get hot from three.
And I have some good news on that.
Oh, it sounds like they
sort
don't,
of,
but.
I don't know if we're ready to roll into the Utah State preview a little bit. I admittedly don't have as much for Colgate and Arkansas. I didn't want to count too many chickens before they hatched. So I just kind of focus a little bit on Utah State.
So Texas Tech on Selection Sunday goes into the 6th seed in that bracket, which includes Baylor.
Sure.
You excited about that one?
No, not at all. Even if Tech was able to get to that point.
So let's,
that's a really tough team to play. That was one of the 63 percenters you just mentioned that happened the last time Tech played Baylor, just right before the Big 12 tourney.
Yeah. In a game that, you know, at what was it, like 10 minutes left in the game, you had a lead, like you were feeling pretty good. You were in it. Anyways, yes. So that this division, this side of the bracket, the South bracket, even though everybody's going to be together, features Baylor as the 1 seed, Ohio State as the 2 seed. Sorry, this is not listed in order. Arkansas as the 3. Purdue as the 4. You've played them several times. Villanova as the 5. You're obviously the 6. Florida is the 7. You've got history with them. It's on a roll there. North Carolina as the 8. Wisconsin as the 9. you're not likely to play Virginia Tech as the 11. Virginia Tech is the 10. Utah State is the 11. Winthrop is the 12. North Texas, I'm sorry, these are like microscopic on this screen. And I don't know why I haven't tried to zoom in first. Anyways.
I could see you squinting. You like just kept moving towards the screen.
Yeah. North Texas, 13. Colgate, 14. Oral Roberts, 15. Hartford, 16. So your path would include, you wouldn't face Baylor until the Elite Eight.
Correct.
Which is something, but your path would include Utah State, which would be Friday afternoon, barely 12:45. And then you get the winner of Arkansas Colgate. And then you'd play the winner between Florida Virginia Tech and the winner of Ohio State Oral Roberts. Anyways, so Utah State's up first. You get them, like I said, Friday, 12:45 on TNT.
They, I made an executive decision today and decided to take Friday afternoon off work.
Good for you. Yeah.
The timing just worked out.
I have Friday afternoons on all of my on my work calendar just blocked off for perpetuity.
the foreseeable future.
For every Friday afternoon. I've also blocked off like every day at 3 so I can go pick up the first grader. Utah State, first up. If you look at KenPom, they are the 40th ranked team. So little pucker factor there. They're not as low as an 11 seed as you would hope. It's kind of the thing I was talking about last week when you talk about the 5-12, 6-11 type matchups. Those teams are going to seem like they're a lot worse off than they are in terms of their seeding, just because of the conference they play in. Good thing though, the matchup here between your defense and their offense is staggering.
Yes.
Your defense ranks 24th in the country to their 112th ranked offense. Your offense is 33rd, but they have a couple point advantage on defense. They're 8th ranked defense.
Well, and their offense is all through 7 foot. I mean, he is a legit 7 foot center.
Wouldn't know what that's about.
And he averaged a double double, my friend. He averaged 15 points a game, 10 rebounds a game. He's got 3.2 blocks per game, which is good for third in the entire country.
Of course.
He's played every single game. He's got almost the most minutes on the team. Averages about 30 minutes a game. The other staggering thing about him, field goal percentage, 55.7%. Now, Granted, he's probably shooting a lot of stuff pretty close to the rim and or hand forcefully throws it through the rim. I wish they'd come up with a word for that. But he is definitely a worry. But I think he's about their biggest weapon. From 3, which has been a definite issue with Tech, they average 33.6% from 3, just as a team. So I'm not as worried about that, but who knows? I mean, Texas only averages 35. I say only. That's still pretty darn good. That's good for, I think, third in the Big 12. But Tech still allowed them to shoot 42 the other day. So I am a little worried because, you know, Tech may be doubling Kata a little bit, might have some guys open on the outside that can hit a few shots. Kata's pretty good with assists. He's got a couple per game. I saw some good highlights of him slinging the ball across the court. So he's very aware of that. And it's just amazing how much the guy can move with one step.
Well,
he really knows how to use his pivot foot and just shift around people. And the next thing you know, he has dunked on you and you fouled him to try to stop him. And you don't know why you've done it. It's too late.
So Queta here, you said, plays nearly 30 minutes a game, leads the team in points, 15 points, 10 rebounds. So he averages a double-double. Only person on the team even close to that. Maybe the forward, Justin Bean, who is just over 11 points and just over 7 rebounds. Also, at least for a center, is way up there in terms of assists. Like you said, he's good at finding guys as the defense tries to crash in on him. It's good for one steal a game, more than 3 blocks a game. Field goal percentage north of 55%, 71% from the line. So even that's not like a great spot.
Yeah.
0% from 3, which means he doesn't take any threes.
Yeah, I think he took 2 for the year.
He's like just testing it out. Like, well, I'm wide open. Nobody's coming.
Sure.
Yeah, man. I don't like to see the team leader being a 7-footer because that's something that you struggled with this past season. But then you look around, you know, the Big 12 and the big guys you've had to defend, like Brown at Texas and McCormick at Kansas and Culver at West Virginia. you're like, well, I mean, we've got some experience. So like seeing somebody like this won't be the first time you've seen an offense trying to go through a big guy. But, you know, even though he leads the team in points, I don't think he can beat you. So if
Great.
You kind of,
I agree.
If you can kind of focus, like, yes, help defense for him, but like limit some other people. Don't let Bean and Marco Anthony, one of their guards, go off for 15, 17 points to go along with Quetta. You should find yourself winning this game. Now, right. I say that.
You look like with Texas, don't let Jones and Coleman go off for 30 combined, or yeah. Fabres, the guy who's barely played and was coming back from an injury, go off for 15. You know, they did a decent job you know, keeping Sims kind of in check, but yeah, just I'm with you. You know, that's one of those things where if you focus too much on Kata, then he's going to find someone else who can probably hurt you. Yeah. And there was something else I wanted to mention about this game is if we had a crystal ball, we could have seen this team play in Lubbock in January, back when New Mexico was not allowing other people in the state. They actually played New Mexico on a Wednesday and a Friday the first week of January here in Lubbock and beat the trash out of them, 77-45, 82-46.
Yikes.
And that seems like that's what the Mountain West did this year, is they kind of played series. They doubled up. They played, you know, they played each team twice, about two nights apart. And, you know, the Mountain West is not the strongest of conferences. You know, 28 record, I don't want to put that down too much, but, you know, they lost to VCU. They lost to South Dakota State. They lost to BYU, although it was a really close one. You know, they handled Mountain West pretty well, but lost to Colorado State and UNLV. Lost both to Boise State somehow, but just not the strongest conference.
No, and New Mexico is not what they used to be. They used to be a pretty good basketball school.
Yes, definitely.
If you look at Haslametrics and their projections, their predictions, even for all three possible opponents, your favorite to win any of those matchups.
But they're going to be nail biters.
Yeah, they're going to be close. This one versus Utah State is the largest at 3 points.
Right.
If Colgate somehow knocks off Arkansas and you play them, you're only favored to win this by like a point and a half.
Yeah. And did you mention, I'm sorry, I think I kind of cut you off as you were going through the KenPom ratings with Utah State. I believe you talked about the, you know, Tech has the advantage on offense, but on defense, I mean, Utah State is ranked number 8 in the country on defense, according to KenPom, and Tech's at 24. So they still have the advantage technically, you know, a 33 offense versus an 8 defense. And then, you know, Tech having a 24 defense versus 112 offense. So there's still the advantage to Tech there. But I mean, like, Kata is a block machine. He's going to be able to hold the lane really well. And they must do a lot of other things well defensively to have that high of a ranking. You know, grain of salt, because Loyola Chicago is ranked number 1 in KenPom's ratings. And I bet if they went against Baylor, they would have trouble.
Trouble.
So I'm going to kind of take grain of salt on that, but just point out the fact that their defense is not just, I mean, it's going to be pretty formidable. So I would bet this would be a low scoring game, 50s, maybe
low 60s. Yeah. Assuming you get through this, I would expect to play Arkansas on Sunday.
I couldn't find game times or anything. I just know it will be Sunday.
The problem, or not the problem. Well, the interesting thing about playing Arkansas is if you look at their KenPom ratings, that it's almost identical to you. Like you talk about having a close game. KenPom, the Arkansas, the team overall is ranked 18th, whereas KenPom has you 23rd. They are the 35th best offense to your 33rd. 14th best defense to your 24th, but they play way faster.
Oh, yeah.
73 possessions to your 65. 17th in terms of tempo. Which says something. If they're playing that fast and their defense is that good, that maybe the defense is helping push their tempo. They're not kind of sitting back. They're going after things. But yeah, like technically, again, according to Haslametrics, you would be favored in this game by less than a point.
Right.
0.9. But my goodness, like all three of these games, all three of these opponents would give really good, close matchups to Texas Tech.
Yes. I'm not going to be surprised at all to see Tech struggle against Utah State. I still am going to say I'd be surprised if they lost, because I believe outside of Kata, you know, if you're able to contain him and then just keep the other guys from beating you, as you pointed out, Tech can come out with a win here. You know, big thing here, make your free throws, guys. I don't know why that's been such an up and down issue all season. Make the free throws, get to the line, you know, maybe get Kata in foul trouble because he likes to go for those blocks. He's very good at it, and he's a smart player, but maybe go right at him. That might be a good solution there. Maybe don't let McClung do it.
Yeah.
Because I think he's going to throw a floater up there, and then Kata's going to throw it out of the stadium. But if, you know, maybe Shannon goes for it, McCullough,
PV.
Yeah, one of those guys can drive in. And get a little bit of air and maybe force Kata to jump a little bit and get out of position. But
no, you were already kind of hinting at like the Mountain West not being a very good basketball conference. And I'm sure like when you see somebody as imposing as Kata, you're like, well, if we can just get him out of the game, right? I think He averages like 2 fouls a game.
I know.
He's fouled out twice.
He has some of the most minutes on the team. I mean, he's obviously able to stay in. So that's why I'm saying I think he's pretty smart. So that may not be a very good strategy. Maybe one to investigate a few times. And then, you know, when he swats it to the stands, you kind of go, all right, well, let's try something else.
Yeah. He's averaging 2.4 fouls per game.
That's really good. That's some smart basketball for how much he's playing.
For the 30 minutes. Like if you were to look at, let's say PV from February or January.
Or Nadolny
for his Nadolny's like 5 or 6 minutes.
Per minute has to be the highest on the team.
Which is more saying just that he doesn't play a lot of minutes, but.
He doesn't, but when he gets in, man, he's all
aggressive.
In.
He's aggressive.
It's very aggressive.
So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. There is all kinds of things. I guess just adjacent to the games actually happening on the court, like, you know, all the teams have to be quarantined up there. I don't know when Texas Tech traveled up there, but I know Texas left the Big 12 tournament and just went straight up there.
Oh, wow.
And supposedly like they've been just sitting in their hotel rooms, like can't leave, can't go outside. It's like, I mean, I'm sure with travel, having played in the last game and then trying to get up there to do all their quarantine stuff, and it wouldn't have made much more sense to go home first or whatever. But this is one of those things where like, you're going to be kind of in this bubble, like we saw in the NBA last summer, until you lose. So the mm-hmm. longer you're in it, the more you've been isolated, which who does this affect? How does it affect the teams? Like, do the guys, not necessarily Texas Tech, but just like players in general, do they lose focus because they're so much removed from their routine, their normalcy? Like,
well, especially the guys from Texas, if they went from Kansas City up there, I mean, they're going to be gone for 3 solid weeks.
Yeah. And you're like, there's not much else to do. Like, there's not much they're allowing you to do in the NCAA outside of play your games. Like, you know, previously it was, you could go down to like the ballroom and hold like a practice, whatever. I don't think they're letting teams do that. Like yeah. You've got very specific times where you can get out and go to the courts and for meetings, for film study, all that kind of stuff. But I think it's so scripted now. Like, there's going to be a lot of downtime. How does that play into people playing? Who knows? It'll be a weird tournament. Let's just say that, because there's going to be no fans, right?
Not that I know of. Aside from, I thought they could invite family.
Yeah.
So, I thought there was a limited number of family that could come, but that may have been something I read weeks ago, and that may be completely out of the question now.
NCAA to allow limited fan attendance in Division I. This was as of February, up to 25%. As you know, like I said, as recent as February 19th, this is a month ago. So, Michael, thoughts, predictions for the game on Friday? Officially, lock it in.
Officially, I'm going to say the Tech wins, but I don't think we're going to like it. I think it's going to be kind of one of those ugly games, and we're going to need Kyler Edwards. That's what it's going to come down to. I've really been impressed with how much he's been commanding the ball lately. Sure, he was cold last game against Texas, 2 for 11, like we mentioned before, but he was shooting. I'm happy for that. I'm happy when McClung and Edwards are shooting, even if they're not making it, because especially with Edwards, he's a difference maker. So I envision kind of an ugly game, but hopefully Edwards comes through 11, 12 points is kind of the difference maker there with some big shots. And Tex, I'm going to go ahead and say that I believe I saw the spread at 4.5. I'm going to say Tech covers, and it'd be something like 61 to 58.
That's not a cover.
Oh, no, you're right.
That's fine, though.
61 to 56. Counting?
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. It would make me nervous to put my eggs in, like, expecting somebody to step up that we have been hesitant about for a while, right?
Sure.
I know that we've seen Kyler Edwards kind of make his return here late in the season, which is better than saying I'm expecting a big game from Peavy, or I need 25 from Shannon, or I need 20
from McClung. He's got to come off the bench and give me 11.
I need 20 from McClung, who hasn't done that in feels like a month.
Right, right.
I think really, I know that these KenPom and Haslam metrics are supposed to be adjusted for opponents. I just think your talent and skill level is going to be just that much better than what Utah State has seen. You're just going to be just that much better. Yes, I'm going to take Texas Tech to win. If the line's at 4.5, let me say Utah State covers at, like, okay, I don't know, 65, 61, 60, like a 3-4 point game.
You want to talk X factors? I want to see a Marcus Santos, Silva, Tyreek Smith lineup. Put them in together.
That's not going to happen.
I know it's not.
I want to see, you know what? I want to see a Marcus Santos, Silva dunk. That's not going to happen.
I think I saw one this year. Gosh, what about the, okay, I know we're about to move on, but can we talk briefly about the Nadalny dunk that didn't count? Did you see that thing?
Was it against Texas?
I believe it was against Texas. I almost leapt out of my seat.
Yes.
He just came out of nowhere. I think he got mauled on the way to the basket, but he was already too late. I mean, he wasn't doing it to be flashy or anything. It was just, that was his plan. And he threw it down from like halfway in the lane. How tall is Nadalny? Like 6'4"?
I don't think he's that tall. I think he's like 6'2", maybe. Let me look
Holy
it up.
Holy crap. That was I wish that would have counted. That might have been like a highlight reel thing. That was one of the best plays of the game.
6'3".
Man.
Split the difference.
I'm pretty high on Nadalny. I like him. I like his fire, I like his effort. He's a fun kid to watch. Anyway, that's all I got.
I would love.
You've got Utah State winning. I mean, covering, but not winning. And right. I've got Tech winning and covering, but it's going to be ugly. And we're all going to afterwards be going like, oh my gosh, how are they going to win Sunday?
Yeah. And it really depends on how you look Friday. determining how I'm going to feel about Sunday. Let me just say right now, in my little Texas Tech rose-colored glasses hearts here, I've got you losing on Sunday.
Oof. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for a win on Sunday to at least advance to the Sweet 16. That's just kind of was my goal at the beginning of the season, so I'm going to stick with it, despite the fact that I do not like this Arkansas matchup at all, if that's who comes out of that game.
Yeah. So Friday, 12:45 TNT. Get your TVs, your apps, your NCAA basketball tournament app streaming set up, ready to go. So when lunch comes around, you'd be like, I'm out. I've got something to do. You know what else you can do, Michael?
What's that, Spencer?
You can check out betonline.ag, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. NBA is in full swing. We have obviously been talking a lot about the NCAA tournament. Tournament is coming. So is the $100,000 Bracket Madness contest, as BetOnline is the spot to be. Is the spot to be for all of your bracketology needs. I can't read, apparently. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Spencer, I'd like to tell you about eBay sneakers. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Media, that's us, will be raffling off four custom-made sneakers. That's four. F-O-U-R. Each purchase you make before March 31st, so we're running out of time here, people, through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you into a drawing for a one-of-one pair of Air Force One low tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @armchairmedia, or you can send it to us at 23 Personnel on Twitter or Instagram, and we will get you entered into that drawing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right. So with that, Michael, let's talk some baseball.
Yay!
Left field, well struck. Desloney picks it up on a bounce. He's racing for second. Throw! Out at second! Young lifts it to right.
And some time because all the tools are there.
Wow, this one launched deep left off the bat of Warren and into the bleachers. There he goes. And the pitch is driven deep to right. Kerstad to the wall. Off the top of the fence. Here comes the big foul. Cameron Warren's going to motor home from first. Throw the third is late. And the Red Raiders have reclaimed the lead. Popped up. Trevor Boone.
All right, speaking of that game versus Oklahoma State, or that series, going back to the 2019 Super Regionals, this four-game series that you just wrapped up versus UConn, probably one of your better lead-in series to Big 12 play you could have asked for. UConn was a very good and talented team, gave you all you could handle for all four of those games. Let's be honest. You won two one-run games, one two-run game where you gave up 13 runs. The only comfortable game you had was Saturday, but even that was close for longer than you would have wanted it to be. Going back, though, to last week, Wednesday, you finished off Gonzaga, your second game, Wednesday night, 5-4. So if you go back to the Tuesday game versus Gonzaga, you won both of those games 5-4. A UConn game by one, this Monday morning game by one. So of the last six games you've played, you've won four of them by one run. I like to be on that side of the one-run games than the opposite.
Right. It's kind of the opposite of the basketball team.
Yeah. You've had some late heroics, whether it was on offense or defense, over those games, especially on offense Monday, which we'll get to that in a little bit. Wednesday, like I said, you got 5-4 versus Gonzaga. Really started with, let's see, Chase Hampton was your starting pitcher that day. And then you ran out three other guys. Hade Key, who has just been lights out for you. Ryan Sublette and Connor Queen gets the save. Chase Hampton goes four innings, gives up four hits, only one run. Hade Key comes in for an inning and two thirds, two hits, two runs. Ryan Sublette goes three full innings, only gives up two hits. And Connor Queen comes in to give the final out. And he faces one batter to close it down on Wednesday. Then you welcomed UConn in for a four-game series. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Friday afternoon, it got moved up.
I'm sorry to interrupt that, but I'm just really impressed that they got all these games in with the weird weather that was going around Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, there was rain. It was the worst Friday. The weather was the worst Friday night. There were actually tornadoes in the area. We have some family that live up in Abernathy. They were like in their basement. There was a tornado. There's a line of storms basically going from like shallow water up to Abernathy that were producing tornadoes Friday evening. They moved the game up to 2 p.m., got this game in. They moved the Saturday game up to 2 p.m., got that in. There was a little weather delay in the Saturday game, and then played in a blustery game on Sunday. And then Monday was beautiful. It was the best weather of the weekend. In terms of that game on Friday, like I said, you ran out Brandon Birdsall, who ended up getting your win that day. He went six full innings. This is his longest appearance so far this season. Four hits, only one run. So guys that we were thinking of, you know, if Micah Dallas was going to make that return back to the weekend rotation, which he didn't end up doing this weekend. We thought he may get to start on Monday and then get prepared to kind of move back into that role for the start of Big 12 play this upcoming weekend. Birdsall said, not so fast, my friend. Goes six innings, four hits, one run, three walks, five strikeouts. Handed the ball over to Andrew Devine, who went another two full innings. No hits on one run. No, none earned. There was that one walk that was able to get around. Brendan Gurton came in, did not record an out. Derek Bridges came in for one third of an inning. Connor Queen gets his second save in as many games. Finishes the final two thirds of an inning, one hit, no runs. So let's see, who was doing damage for you on the bases? You had Conley picked up three RBIs, and of your four runs, Conley was responsible for three of them. And then you had a throwing error, which led to your one unearned run, which was the fourth. So Brandon Birdsall, maybe holding down that Friday spot, at least for the foreseeable future, because when Micah Dallas did come in this weekend, it was in high leverage relief situations. He came in when he come in Saturday or Sunday. He came in Saturday. Yes, I'm on Saturday. Sorry. I got so many windows open. Saturday. The game I had tickets for. I was most looking forward to this because I wanted to go see Patrick Monteverdi pitch.
He's human.
This is his roughest outing.
He revealed that he's human today, this weekend.
Yeah. So he goes only five innings, only because he had done seven innings both of his previous two starts. Gives up four hits, three runs, two earned. So it took him 21 innings of work to give up his first earned run. No walks on Saturday, four strikeouts on 81 pitches. So it was a little more inefficient because he allowed several runners. Hayde Key comes back in. He goes an inning for you. Eli Reekman, Micah Dallas comes in, goes two full innings there in the seventh and eighth. Only gives up one hit to two strikeouts. And then Jamie Hitt comes in and closes it down. Gives up one hit, one strikeout. Monteverdi, yeah, man, it's like, I said, I really wanted to go to this game. I wanted to see him pitch. This is the game that was most in question with the weather because it was a 2 p.m. start. My weather app said like thunderstorms starting at like 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. Yes. I was like, I don't want to get all the way out there for the game, like for them to get two or three innings in and like shut it down. They, I believe, got no rain and had only the one lightning delay.
Right.
Patrick Monteverdi does end up picking up the win. He moves to 3-0 on the season. Texas Tech scored three runs in the first inning several times this weekend. Saturday, they notched three in the first, one in the second, and then they put it away in the sixth or in the eighth, sorry, when they scored six runs. So going into the eighth with the bottom of the eighth with you batting, it was tied 3-3. Sorry, three. You were up 3-4.
Yeah, one run 4-3. Yeah.
One run lead, bottom of the eighth, and then you put up six runs. It's like, nope, this game's over. Sunday, you come out, you win the series behind Ryan Sublett, who is not your starter, but does end up getting the win. You started Mason Montgomery, who went 4 1/3, unfortunately gave up 7 hits, 4 runs. All 4 of those were earned. Ryan Sublett comes in for just an inning and 2/3, but that's when you did your damage to retake the lead. Other guys you saw on the mound, Derek Bridges, Andrew Devine, Nick Gorby, Connor Queen comes in for a third of an inning to get his third save in like 4 games. I think was it Sunday when you had so many hit by pitches, I believe?
Yes, it was Sunday. And then I think there were a few more on Monday, but actually I think Tech may have hit some people on Monday. But it was Sunday.
You had 7 hit by pitches by 6 different players. Drew Baker took one. Jace Young took one. Dylan Noisy took 2. Rombach had 1. Fulford had 1. Masters had 1. And it wasn't against like their strong pitcher. So like it wasn't intentional, obviously. They were at the end of their bullpen, essentially. They were having command issues. It wasn't like they were beaming guys in the head or in the upper shoulders, whatever. It was just like losing command.
Yes.
But it was like, man, like... You hit 7 guys, like, I want to see a Tech pitcher go out there and just bean some money on purpose. Not what happened. Jace Young hits his Big 12 leading 7th home run on Sunday. He went 3-for-4 on Sunday. His average is like 2nd or 3rd in the conference up there. Your team average has dipped a little bit. Your team number of strikeouts is way up there. Keith assures me it's nothing to be worried about, but I was like, oh, man, when like half of your at bats end and strikeouts, no, I don't like it. But you win this game 15-13 on Sunday. You scored in every single inning. You sent a batter up to the plate, 2 in the 1st, 1 in the 2nd, 3 in the 3rd, 2 in the 4th, 2 in the 5th, 1 in the 6th, 1 in the 7th, and 3 in the 8th. But UConn plated 8 runs in their final 3 innings.
Yes, including 4 in the top of the 9th. And that was really kind of pucker time right there.
Yeah. Going into that top of the 9th, you were up 15-9. They were able to plate 4. You're like, what is going on? Don't screw this up. No. That happens Monday.
That's right.
As much as I said, like it was a beautiful day. And it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was like really intense in terms of like the competition. One of those weird days where like at first pitch, it was cold. It was 46 degrees. Like it was a cold morning. Sitting in the sun felt much hotter. There was very little wind, it felt like, but there was some breeze. The game goes almost a full 4 hours. You did get 1 extra inning. You went into the 10th. Chase Hampton was your starter here, goes 3 full innings, and then you went like everybody else who may have a P next to their name on the roster. You had Brady Lejeune Diakuntis came in for 1 2/3 inning, Levi Wells for 1/3 of an inning, Brandon Beckel made an appearance, gave up no hits, but a run on no innings pitched. Officially, he did not record an out. Josh Sanders came in and really seemed to steady the ship there. 2 innings. Chase Webster, Brandon Gurton through the final 3 innings. The problem is, though, so UConn scores first in the top of the 2nd. They put up 2. You reply bottom of the 2nd and get 1 run. Go scoreless the next 3 innings. In the 6th, UConn plates 1. You return 1. In the 7th, you finally take the lead. UConn plates 1 more. So they're up 4-2. And then you get 4 guys across the bottom of the 7th to go 6-2. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. 6-4.
No, you're right.
It's 6-4.
6-4. Yeah, you're right.
nobody scores in the eighth. UConn is able to tie it up top of the ninth, 2-0. You don't really get close in the ninth. So you push it on to the 10th. Unfortunately, UConn scores 2 in the top of the 10th, but then some magic happened. I don't even know like when you would ever see this again, if ever. And I don't want to like discount it because it was UConn. I did say they were a good team, but what happens in the bottom of the 10th is you get their pitcher who's been in there for quite a while.
I think it was 2 2/3.
2 2/3. He was one of the longest guys.
Well, he finished there. 2 2/3. Yeah.
Yeah. He threw, what was it? 6 pitches in the 10th and maybe gave up 3 runs. What happened is in the 10th, you send up Nate Rombach, who on a 1-0 pitch crushes it to left center field. John Harris on the TV call, like as the ball is leaving his bag, like that one's not coming back.
Yes.
They're not bringing that one back.
He completely called that the second it hit.
Cal Conley comes up on his 4th pitch. So through two batters, the pitcher has thrown 6 pitches. On his 6th pitch, Conley's 4th, he hits more of a line drive, but it clears the fence. He hits another solo home run. I'm sitting with who apparently was Patrick Monteverdi's family who was in town for the game this weekend for the series. It was hilarious. In the 9th inning, the pitcher for UConn, the same guy that is struggling here in the 10th, when he got a runner on, he goes to the stretch. And as he's preparing to deliver the pitch, he's got the sign. He comes back in. He taps his front foot. And it was always a different number of toe taps. They picked up on it super quickly. And they were counting it, but like yelling it back to him, like, 1, 2, 3. No, that's not enough. They always had a comment based on the number of toe taps. It was either not enough or he wasn't in rhythm or like,
I could hear that through the radio, but I didn't really know. I think Hacks had to explain it at some point. I was like, why are these people counting randomly? What are they counting?
They're counting his toe taps. One time he tapped 7 times, like, that's a record. Anyways, after Conley hits his home run in the 10th, they're like doing the parody from Oprah, like, you get a home run and you get a home run. And then Fulford comes in and they're kind of like, they're still carrying this on, like, and you get a home run. Fulford's 2nd pitch hits another no doubter. Like Rombach and Fulford both hit no doubter home runs. So on back to back to back solo home runs, you walk off UConn and sweep them 9-8.
Also worth mentioning that was Fulford's 5th at bat on the day, struck out the first 4 times.
Yeah, I believe that's
and called. And it took a 2nd pitch over left center.
Yeah, it's like a, what's that called? Like the golden sombrero.
Golden sombrero. Yeah, that Labar told me that, and yeah. I had to look that up. But that's, I'd never seen that before, and I'd never seen. You know, I'm obviously not a big baseball historian, but I can't imagine an inning where a team needed 3 runs in the bottom of the final inning, and all 3 guys hit single home runs to end the game. I'm sure it's happened at some point, and I'm sure someone knows that, but it can't have happened much just in the history of the game, right? This has got to be really rare. I know, yeah. People hit multiple home runs in innings all the time, but not necessarily the bottom of the 10th when you're down 3.
So I'm going to play you Haxton's call on it. It's 43 seconds. So there are some clips taken from this of the home runs that you just need to hear.
Punched up in the air to left center field. That ball's crushed. Adios, muchacho.
So that was Rombach.
One more to go. 8-7 UConn as Rombach touches the ball with a rom blast. Conley hits it. It's deep. Left fielder back. Adios. Los Muchacho! Back to back, Jacks were tied at 8. Tied at 8 in the bottom of the 10th, the pitch. Driven to deep left center field! Are you kidding me? Adios, Muchacho! The Raid Raiders walk them off! Back to back to back! Unbelievable!
Yep. I love that. I was I had like both arms in the air in my office at work by myself, just smiling, just grinning like an idiot. It was crazy. This was the craziest, one of the craziest things I've ever listened to. Just as far as I know, the stakes weren't super high or anything, but wow, just the timing of it and the fact that Fulford came up on such an awful day and knocked it out.
Yeah. One thing that you won't see in the stats, Dylan Noisy, one was robbed of a home run. The center fielder legit had his glove up and over the fence. What was it? It was middle of the game somewhere. And then it was later, much later in the game, he came up again and the center fielder was legit up against the fence and caught another one. So like a combined foot added to both of those home runs or those hits, and he would have had a 2 home run day. But you win Monday, you walk it off 9-8 in 10 innings on 3 solo home runs in the 10th. Now brings your win streak to 14 straight since losing in Arlington. In terms of your home win streak, it's the longest in the country at 23 games. And that stretches all the way back into the second game of the Super Regionals in 2019, the middle game of that series versus Oklahoma State. You lost that one. And then you won the third game to your last home game in 2019. You won all of your home games in 2020 and all of your home games so far in 2021 to get you to 23 straight at home. Schedule update. They did announce today. They added a single midweek game versus New Mexico, April 27th at 6:30. It is sandwiched between the Baylor and Texas Big 12 series. What's the plural of series?
I think it's a series.
Yeah, that was close. Because that one and this week are like, you've got like 2 weeks where you don't have a midweek game. One is this week. I think you were counting on a spring break, but the players get a little bit of break before you bring in Oklahoma State this weekend, who has also been doing pretty well. I found some interesting stats I want to share with you guys really quickly before we wrap up baseball here. These are team stats. Texas Tech is currently second in the country in walks earned. So as much as I was kind of railing on the pitchers for striking out, for the batters for striking out, they've also worked the second most walks in the country. They're also 20th in batters hit by pitches. And they're 9th.
Does that include this weekend?
Yeah. And 9th in total on-base percentage. So they are putting a lot of guys on base. It is rare that you'll see Texas Tech go 1-2-3 in an inning without getting somebody on the base paths. Defensively, the offensive side first. They are third in the country in doubles hit. So their slugging percentage is up there pretty good. Getting guys not only on base, but in scoring position. 11th in home runs, which I think they're second in the Big 12 right now, behind Oklahoma State. 4th total in runs scored. So they're 4th in total runs scored. In terms of defense, they are 3rd in the country in double plays turned. So they've got, when they do get batters on, they're really good at erasing multiple guys at the same time. You had a couple of those plays this weekend, especially where you'd catch a UConn runner leaking off the base a little bit too far and have like a line drive smoked right at one of your infielders and they double up the runner behind them. So like, I can't remember exactly who it was, but Parker Kelly at 3rd had a lot of those diving line drive stops. But there were several where they caught a line drive and threw him out. Whether it was a 1st or 2nd, cause they had seeing the hit and like that's getting through, only for a Red Raider defender to stop it and then double him up behind him. Another defensive play I wanted to point out, there was a play at the plate on Monday that even got reviewed. There was a bunt that went back to the pitcher. And I can't remember who was on the mound at that time. He basically just scoops the ball back to Braxton Fulford covering home plate with his glove. He just flipped it to him. Fulford grabs it, spins around, tags the runner out. Like I said, it had to go to review. It was that close. Ended up having that upheld as an out. That was really good. And then Dylan Noisy stole home. He had a straight steal of home.
I know. I wanted to look up that highlight because I heard it on the radio and I couldn't believe that had happened. And I couldn't picture what it was, but yeah, I need to look that up, but that's definitely worth mentioning. The guy can move.
Yeah. If you look up the Texas Tech baseball Twitter account, I'm sure they're going to have it. And it's for some reason not pulling up for me right now, but.
But you know, you mentioned Oklahoma State. They're 11-3-1 overall. They had a tie game end due to a travel curfew, but those three losses have come in their last four games, including one tonight. They lost in Arlington versus UL Monroe, University of Louisiana Monroe, 6-13. So coming off of a little skid heading into Lubbock, and you just hate to see it. But yeah, they dropped a series in Stillwater against Vanderbilt. Of course, that's nothing to sneeze at. Vanderbilt's always good. Lost 2-1 in that series, but then lost to UL Monroe tonight, and they are headed to Lubbock after a 1-3 skid.
Hate to see it.
Yeah,
just too bad. One of those near home runs for Noisy was in the bottom of the ninth. He was the third out recorded, so that would have been a walk off home run. It's caught at the wall. Gerton was the pitcher on the mound where he flipped the bunt back to Fulford. That was to record the second out in the ninth. They had runners on the corners, and he bunted it. And he bunted pretty well up the first baseline. Gerton ends up making this toss almost on the line back to Fulford. So Fulford's looking up the first baseline to catch the ball, spins all the way back around to make the tag. I found the audio on the, it's a video, but of the steal at home. Rombach's at the plate. Noisy's at third. He had just hit a triple. And from my perspective, when I looked down at J. Bob Thomas, it looked like he was throwing up the stop sign as Noisy was hitting second. But he kept going. I was like, did he just run through a stop sign? He would probably tell him to get to third and get down, but...
Yeah, maybe anyway. So. He was apparently very determined to run the bases on this one.
He gets the third, and three pitches later, you get this.
Here comes Dylan Noisy coming home from third base, and he's safe at the plate. Wow. A ball on a breaking ball to Rombach, and behind the plate, Devaney mishandled the ball, and Dylan Noisy scores, stealing home here in the seventh inning.
And that is a true stolen base of home.
So this was not like a passed ball. Like the ball did not get past the catcher. It wasn't a wild pitch.
Yeah.
The ball literally was right there on the plate. The catcher was having a hard time receiving it and hanging on to it. The three of them, Rombach, Devaney, the catcher for UConn, and Noisy, were all standing there together. Noisy had to step on the plate several times to make sure that it was recorded as a save, but he was there. The catcher didn't gain full possession of that for quite some time. So that game Monday was a lot of fun to be at. I feel a lot better, especially having won all these one-run games coming in to Big 12 play. Like you said, Oklahoma State's a little slumping a little bit. You will host them here in Lubbock starting on Friday for your typical three-game series, 6:30 on Friday, 2 p.m., Saturday, 2 p.m. on Sunday. If you haven't gotten your ESPN Plus Big 12 Now subscription, this is where you're going to get most of your baseball games. I don't know what you're waiting on. It's $5. Go get it for a couple months. Watch all these baseball games because a lot of them this season have been there. So if you haven't been able to get to the games, they've been on ESPN Plus. Oklahoma State is 20th in the country right now. And first, they're second in the Big 12, I believe.
Yes, and to second on the ESPN Plus deal, I think all of the remaining televised games so far are on ESPN Plus. At least, you know, there's a few that haven't been announced. You know, the Texas game, the OU game, there's no TV slot next to them yet, but I'm sure they'll get picked up from somebody.
Yeah. Oklahoma State, second in the conference, 11-2-1. They have a one game win streak to year 14, which kind of sounds ridiculous. Baylor on their own little win streak of 8 games, 10-4 would be third. Then Kansas State, kind of a surprise for baseball to be up where they're at. They've got a guy that I think is like right up there in terms of home runs with the guy from Oklahoma State and Jace Young. Texas at 5th, TCU 6th, Kansas at 7, Oklahoma and West Virginia way too low for as good as we thought they might be at 8th and 9th.
Well, and West Virginia ranked number 14th right now, so that's an interesting tidbit.
And they are last in the conference in baseball standings. All right, let's quickly do some football, and then we'll wrap this thing up with what we learned.
Get to the right sideline, breaks a tackle. He's got running room at the 30, the 35, 40. He's the midfield, the 45, 40. He may go. 25, 10. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Davis Webb, the freshman. Screen.
Shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught. He plays. He's the worst. Red Raider. Unbelievable. Red Raiders. Michael Crabtree has done it.
Let the scoring begin.
So you did hear John Harris there, who's doing your baseball play-by-play for the TV right now with Mike Gustafson on that call there of Michael Crabtree beating Texas.
I don't think I'd heard Harris call baseball till this season.
Me either.
I think he's done a not really nice job. I know that Robert Giovanetti did a few games the first couple season or series in Lubbock, but Harris is I've always liked Harris. I think he does a fine job on basketball and play by play on football.
Let me just say I'm glad that it's not Chuck Hines.
I didn't even know that would be an option.
He's done play-by-play for baseball before. I was like,
oh, that's right.
It feels so weird.
Yes.
He's part of the crew that he's the color analyst for the women's basketball team.
He's very conversational.
Yeah. He's a talker. And it's like, I don't know. It's weird. Football. I've been talking the past podcast or two about how spring practice had been started, spring football started. I was wrong. Those were off-season conditionings, but now spring practice has started. You've had two practices in earnest so far. You had a Matt Wells media availability following the Monday practice session. You can get some of that, the video coverage and some tech football notebook from Seth over on Steak in the Plains. Big things to look out for, at least early on here in the spring. Some big time guys you're missing for the spring so far. Linebacker Rico Jeffers, transfer defensive back Malik Dunlap, defensive back / quarterback hopeful, if you listen to Dan, Xavier Martin, and running back Xavier White are all out for the spring. And then you've got these, a few guys that have been limited so far. Dawson Deaton, who needs to be playing a big role on the offensive line. J.J. Sparkman, up-and-coming receiver. And then defensive lineman Nelson Mbanasor, who was injured late last fall, still making the recovery. So plenty of coverage over there on Steak in the Plains from the first practice. There's now been two. Getting closer to the spring game in April, which I know that Michael's ready to go. He wants to go see it.
Oh, sure. Nothing shows me more about a team except for when they play each other. That's when I really get a feel for how good a team is.
Did you see the video that the Texas Tech Twitter account, Texas Tech football Twitter account put out?
No, I saw that Rob commented on it, but I didn't click the article. I should have.
So it's one play. It's of, is it McIver? I can't tell the numbers. it's a touchdown pass, but what's the thumbnail of it is the quarterback's all lined up, Sonny Cumbie standing right behind him, like, oh, man, it's a good sight. It's not Donovan Smith, who we can tell is off to the side. It's not Henry Columbia because his hair is on the other side, flown out of his helmet. Who does he throw this to? Let's see.
Just go through it. Just go through it play by play. It's just one play.
Just one play. Number 19. It's Loke Fungi from Midland. So good times.
I'm watching it right now.
The one play you've seen, you know, video of the dime.
That's not too bad.
You excited yet? Maybe it was bad coverage. Maybe he just didn't make a good enough move.
That's the thing. That's where you just get, just walk yourself all up and down that plank of, oh man, wow. The red team scored 38 points.
Oh, the black team gave up 38 points.
Yeah. Wait, this sucks. No, this is great. What do I do? But sure. I'm sure I'll be there. SPF 50 and all.
SPF 50. Let's see. What number is that? Let's see. 2. That was Baron Morton.
Oh, of course it was. Oh, everybody start your engines.
Start them up, baby. Because Tyler Shuck is not on campus just yet.
Yep.
All right. Michael, you ready to wrap this up with what we learned?
I am ready.
All right, man. Let's get there.
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
It's fantastic work there, Spencer. So just decided to roll with it. Going yard. Just a brief update. The lawn is coming back. I love it. I didn't tell you guys about the mow job I put down on it last week. Screen it up, man.
Mine is so dead. It is still so dead. I think even my bushes are dead.
You need my edges. You need to start putting some water to it.
I'm trying to, but I don't know. We got our fence restained, so I couldn't water tonight. Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
I need to ask you about that later. And then okay. Little League update has me nervous. We got our schedules. Our first game is a week from tonight, Tuesday night.
But you had those scrimmages last week, which you learned.
We had one scrimmage, and we'll have one more on Saturday. We didn't practice tonight, but we'll practice Thursday night. We'll see who shows up to that because it's technically spring break for these kids. And then a scrimmage on Saturday. So what has me worried, you remember me talking about this team last year that just absolutely demolished us? Yeah.
We
play them first. And I was messing around with this guy. The coach and I are getting along a lot better than we were last season, obviously, after what happened. And he took it like that I was upset with him and his coaches or his team. I was like, no, we had a rough day. You guys were obviously better. It felt like it was not the right division for your team, but you know, whatever. Can't control that. Actually, they could because it was a blind draft. They manipulated and traded for their team, but you know, they had the
here nor there.
they put the effort in to do that, so that's on them. And had 13 players to our 5, so getting destroyed 21-3 was just, you know, it's in the cards. So anyways, draft night, we were kind of joking around. He was the first guy that came up and wanted to get the guy, the 7-year-old, the really good 7-year-old that I got. I was like, man, if you want him, no, that means he must be pretty good. So we've been kind of messaging back and forth. He's like, hey, I see that we're playing each other first. He's like, I'm a little worried that we're going to be a little rusty coming out of spring break. I was like, don't even like play, dude.
I'm not ready to. It's too soon. Too soon.
Because as much as I was excited about the team I drafted, I have not seen that team at practice. We've had a couple, like there have been 3 players that we were pretty excited about. They've been pretty good for us. And then one of our blind hat picks, that was the player that was not at tryouts. He's been really good for us. which is unusual because the guys that don't come to practice or that don't come to the tryouts, not usually your better performers. They just weren't available that day. It's like, oh, good. We got a good one. But we have a full team of 12 kids. We get maybe 8 kids to practice, and it's never the same 8 kids. So it's like, good. We can't field a team. I can't put together lineups. I can't figure out who to put where on the defense. I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all. We just play the best team in the league from last year, first out of the gate.
You've got time to figure this out.
You got a practice and a scrimmage left. So first game next week, then we get rolling, man. We got 13 games on the schedule. That'll take us all the way through middle of May. So get ready for more Little League updates.
I'm thrilled to hear that you're going to be tested right out of the gate. This is just like our Red Raiders. They face the gauntlet and then they rattle off 14 straight. I think this is going to be a good thing for your team. It's going to build character. Then y'all are going to water the tree all over everybody else. It's going to be great. The only thing I learned this week is that HEB, God bless them, not a sponsor of the podcast, unless you know someone who is willing to put us in touch with someone. But anyway, HEB sells make your own salsa kits. And one of the ones they sold that my wife found and bought, and I'm really glad she did, was for tomatilla salsa. It's roasted tomatilla salsa. Which, I mean, that may be redundant. I don't know. Is all tomatilla salsa roasted? I don't think it is. But here's what
you think. I know Spanish.
here's I know what food, it was.
But not Spanish.
It was just a little container with, I think, 4 tomatillas, 2 jalapenos, some diced onion, and a little bit of cilantro. And then it gave you directions and said basically, you know, roast the tomatillas and the jalapenos at 450 or whatever. And so I fired up the grill and did it over the charcoal. So we did that, and then Allison threw it in the blender, and we added the diced onions. The diced onions were supposed to stay in the little metal container it came in on the grill too. So they got a little softer and my gosh, man,
that sounds fantastic. I don't like green salsas. That sounds great.
It was really good. It was, I mean, I like tomatilla salsa. It's not something I seek out so much. But I do like it, and I could not believe that there was how citric it was. There was no lime added, but it kind of tasted like there was lime added. And I know that was just the tomatillas themselves, and then how roasting them kind of brought out all those juices and everything. And it made a lot of salsa. I mean, it made a big, pretty big jar of it, and we just devoured it. And of course, you know, credit to my wife for she added a little bit of seasoning here and there, but she said she didn't really add that much. I think it's a little bit of garlic salt maybe, and of course a little bit of salt and pepper, but she said on the whole it really didn't need much. It was, man, it was some good salsa, dude.
I'm a child and can't hear that phrase without thinking about Austin Powers.
I saw you smile as soon as I said it, and I thought, yeah, that was poor phrasing on my part.
Preparation H does feel good on the whole.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the aspect of doing it yourself, of roasting the peppers and put together. So was it spicy?
No. She took out that was the one thing I would change. I think we would, if it were up to me, I'd add a little bit more of the jalapeno seeds back in because she did kind of peel the jalapenos a little bit because they got really black. I mean, I just like let them sit on the right on top of the coals. And so she was like, I'm going to scrape some of that off. And I thought, you know, that's probably a good idea. And so while she was at it, she didn't just throw the entire jalapeno in there. She took some of the seeds and some of the stems out. But it was not hot. It was very mild, but I think it could have been hotter pretty easily.
I like that.
It was a great flavor though.
The one thing that I figured out from HEB is a lot of their store made stuff, or their store brand stuff has a lot of onion in it, but if you can control it yourself, and I also like the idea of like roasting these peppers yourself, I might have to give that a try.
Dude, it took like 10 minutes total or 15 to do it all. It was about 10 minutes on the grill, and then she threw it in the blender and we were eating salsa in like 15 minutes. It was great.
That sounds so Delicious. All right, Michael, that'll do it for us. We're getting ready for the big tournament Friday, 12:45 on TNT. Then your Big 12 baseball starts that evening versus Oklahoma State. Football spring practice is underway. Everything's heating up for Texas Tech. For Michael, I'm Spencer. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast and sharing our fandom for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can connect with us on Twitter at 23 Personnel, Spencer at Puntsuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And find even more great content over on stakingtheplains.com. Help us out by rating the show and leaving a review on iTunes and subscribe on whatever channel you listen to podcasts. Remember to tell your friends about the show. The guys will be back next week with another episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.